boy, a gorgeous Saturday afternoon here in November in the Chicagoland area. Pretty rare that we get breaking legal news here, but I do have some legal news for you that's breaking just now. I think you heard in the news report, a U.S. federal appeals court has issued a stay freezing the Biden administration's efforts to require workers in the U.S., at least with employers that have over 100 employees, that they have to be vaccinated against COVID or tested weekly. This came down from the Fifth Circuit. This isn't a direct ruling. It's issuing a stay on the ruling. The Solicitor of Labor has said that they are confident in the legal authority to issue the rule, which will be enforced by OSHA. Anyone that's listened to Let's Get Legal regularly has heard from a few experts, legal experts, on a very nonpartisan issue saying that this law, this regulation proposed by the Biden administration would likely fall into some hot water with judges and maybe all the way up to the Supreme Court. Now, in terms of federal employees and state employees, that's a whole other thing. We're talking about private employees. So as of right now, there is a stay on that order issued by the Biden administration, and we will have to wait and see. And when more news happens, of course, we'll bring it right here to you on WGN Radio. Gary Grosso, it's always good to see you, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Good to see you, too.
What a perfect Saturday here.
It is a perfect Saturday, and you've got the best view in the city.
Got a good one here. How are things out in Burr Ridge, my friend?
Burr Ridge is great. We really don't have any issues. We just paid off our debt.
Really?
Yeah, everybody has a police pension to deal with or a fire pension, but that's kind of everywhere. But our bond debt that we had bonded our police department facility construction 10 years ago, about $6.3 million. We have the funds, and so our board, 6-0, said, you know what, let's pay off our debt.
You know, whenever I have a personal debt, I don't know whether it's a credit card or something, and a car payment, and you pay it off, boy, that feels good. As the mayor, does that make you just feel, walk around with the chest held a little higher?
Yeah, a little bit, because that means things are well fiscally. After all, that's part of what we have to do, is be fiscally responsible. And you can make some arguments that Illinois really hasn't done that. And when you have a municipality that straddles Cook and DuPage counties and it can pay off its debt, I think that shows a little leadership maybe to other communities when and if they have the opportunity. Burr Ridge is a fortunate village. It's been well run ever since we moved there and prior to that. And so we were in a good position, and so we took advantage of it.
Oh, good for you. We brought you here, of course, because you do a lot of great things with Grosso Law, and we've talked about legal malpractice in the past. But just for those that don't know, maybe missed that program, give us a recap of what you do at the firm and what sort of cases you handle.
Right. Grosso Law has a very niche legal practice. We represent clients against their attorneys in legal malpractice cases. Yes, a client can sue a lawyer. Lawyers have, most of them have legal malpractice insurance. Law firms, big law firms, of course they do. And sometimes, unfortunately, lawyers make mistakes. Everybody's human, and there is negligence. And that can cost a client or a hedge fund or a corporation or any entity that is the client, it costs them a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And there's a remedy for that, and it's called legal malpractice.
I find it interesting. Is it hard for you, you know, being someone, you're a lawyer yourself, right? And you don't want to disparage your profession, and we should have confidence in our law system as it is, and the lawyers that are, conducting our business for us on our behalf. Is that a hard line to navigate? Because, I mean, I know you want to enter each case thinking that, hey, look, like you just said, lawyers are human. But the reality is you've got to go after some folks that maybe were a little negligent. Is that hard for you or a hard line to toe?
It's not, because I look at it from this way, John. It is a noble profession. I am very proud to be a lawyer, and I have been proud to be in a lot of cases and a lot of matters with a lot of great lawyers and learned a lot from them. And they are leaders in the community. But you have to look at it from the client standpoint. The integrity of the legal profession is based on it performing well. And at times when it doesn't, there should be a remedy for the client. And many times law firms and lawyers will step up and say, you know what? I made a mistake, and let's see what we can do about it. That's not the usual,
right?
But it does happen, and it's an adversarial proceeding, as you've kind of intimated. But I look at it from the integrity of it and the client's viewpoint. When something goes wrong, there should be a remedy. Our whole legal system is built on that, on the civil side. So it's just part of the legal system. I don't go after lawyers.
Right.
I really do not. We don't.
You're not thumbing through cases that are decided and looking for what you could find.
No. I often get my cases from other lawyers who now have a client who was injured because of what another lawyer did. Those law firms don't do that kind of work. There are, you know, most law firms will not sue another law firm. So there is a place for me and others that do the same kind of work that I do. So we're protecting clients when something goes wrong.
It's interesting in a way, and this is sort of like how our government is set up with checks on each branch, that you do provide a valuable check. And in fact, people might feel a little bit more confidence in the overall legal process knowing that there is a check for lawyers who do make mistakes.
Yeah, and sometimes we can get them a check, a big check.
Gary, that was a good one. Zing! Well, so, and how does it work then? Because at what point would someone, because like, look, I'm not a lawyer. That's why I ask you guys all the questions here on the show. How would I know that something happened that shouldn't have happened, right? Because your lawyer, as you alluded to, probably isn't going to come out and say, I made a big mistake here. What is it? Is it just a smell test in the courtroom? Is it something that you just see that, you know, your gut tells you it's wrong? How do you find it?
Yeah, and you just went where I was going to go, and that's your gut. You know, the biggest mistakes I've ever made in my life were going against my gut. Your mm-hmm. gut usually tells you something's not right. Do you know that the lawyer's the cause of that? Not necessarily,
right.
But you know something went wrong, and it probably shouldn't have gone wrong. And is it the lawyer's fault? I don't know. You, mm-hmm. You'd have to bring me the facts, and we'd have to look at it.
And is that how that works then? Is that they can call you and you say, all right, well, let's see what you got.
Right. And in legal malpractice, you have to have the but-for situation where...
Explain that a little bit.
Yes. But for the lawyer's negligence, but for the lawyer's mistake, I would have won my case. I would have had that contract. I would have been able to finish that transaction.
So the lawyer's mistake has to be the hinge between win or lose.
It does. If there's something else out there that's material or major, that might be the proximate cause, not the lawyer's mistake. And by the way, the lawyers aren't supposed to be perfect. The lawyers can make mistakes, and there is a judgment call at times where the law gives the judgment rule, as we call it, in favor of the lawyer. You know, it was a judgment. Where the lawyers fall down sometimes in that area is they don't tell the client what their choices are. A lawyer doesn't have to guarantee the result. No, in fact, a lawyer shouldn't not guarantee a result.
And you don't to your clients.
No, and you don't. And you say there's only two things guaranteed in life, as they say, taxes and death. Right. And but the lawyers have to make sure the client, there has to be sufficient communication with the client so the client can make a considered decision. And that's oftentimes where the lawyers make a mistake.
Right.
You have to give them all the facts. You have to apply the facts to the law. And then you say, here's what I think's going to happen, but this could happen too. Here's two or three different approaches. Here's what I recommend, but it's your choice. All of that is within the province of the lawyer, and that's not malpractice if something goes wrong.
Yeah, and see, that's what's interesting is that I think that, boy, there's got to be some black and white cases where you're like, well, that was obvious. But a lot of them, in fact, probably the vast majority, are a little bit more nebulous. So if someone is getting this hunch, this feeling in their stomach, they're being represented in some case, they think something's wrong, I know that the idea is to call you. But in the meantime, too, is it saving every email, saving every text message? What should I be gathering if I'm starting to get that feeling?
Yes.
That's going to help you.
Yes, you gather the information, and then you act on it. Don't wait. There are statutes of limitations. And not surprisingly, the states are rather narrow and short periods of time for you to sue a lawyer. And there are many cases. I've got one I just got a call on. Sounded great when we dug into the facts.
Right.
It may have already expired. So
how long is it here in Illinois?
Well, in Illinois, it's 2 years from when you knew or should have known. of your injury that was caused by the lawyer?
No, or should have known.
Known, right. And so that becomes a question of material fact. Ugh. Often in cases. There is a six-year repose from the Negligent Act. If it's more than 6 years, the door is already closed on you. It doesn't matter if you didn't discover it in time. And some people say, well, it's not fair. Well, guess what? Life isn't fair at times.
Yeah.
So generally, it's 2 years. New York has a three-year statute. Texas has a similar to us, two years discovery rule, we call it. When did you discover the material facts when you knew or should have known that that was that you were injured and it could have been caused by the lawyer?
Yeah. Our conversation is going to continue after the news. If someone has to run out of the car, wants to know how to reach you, what is the best way to get a hold of you?
630-654-4500 or go to www.grossellaw.com.
You said it too fast. I'm writing this down. I'm pretending I'm someone writing it down at home.
630-654-4500.
4,500. That's how we do it in radio, Gary. We say it twice.
Ah,
there
okay.
you go. And the website for folks?
Yes, www.grossellaw.com.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation after the news. I got some more questions. If you do too, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. It's a fascinating topic. We'll pick it up after the news here on WGN. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Most likely heard the news about Blackhawks head coach Jeremy Colliton. As we wrap up the show in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with Joe Brand again as he continues to get reaction from all sorts of folks in the Blackhawks atmosphere. But we're here with Gary Grosso from Grosso Law. Gary, we've been talking about legal malpractice. The two words I seem to struggle to even say together, let alone explain. You did a great job of it before the news, walking us through this. In my notes here I have for today, it says a legal malpractice claim is actually two cases. What do you mean by that? That break it down for us.
It is two cases. It's the what we call the case within the case.
Okay.
So at one level, you have to prove that the lawyer deviated from the standard of care as it applied in the community at the time. In the area of law in which he or she was practicing.
So prove the mistake first.
You have to prove the mistake, and that often, almost all the time, is through another lawyer, through another expert who says, hey, I do this all the time, and you know, this lawyer just missed this one at this time, and here's why, and here's the basis of my opinion.
So a lawyer that does something similar right. in a similar jurisdiction, I've done it this way before, okay.
And that is the standard of care, and that lawyer defendant missed the standard of care. So that's case number one. You've got to have an attorney-client relationship, and you've got to prove a deviation by the lawyer. And then you have to prove that, but for, remember we talked about yeah. but for during, you know, but for that, I would have, and then you get into the other case, the case within the case, whether or not that's a car accident, you know, that could be a car accident, personal injury accident. It could be a real estate deal. It could be a house closing. It could be a major real estate commercial deal. It could be, you know, a trust that went bad because he or she did something wrong. It could be a mechanics lien that someone had and they lost it because the lien wasn't perfected because of something the lawyer did or didn't do. It could be workers' comp case that okay. was lost. You know, and they lost their workers' comp benefits because the lawyer didn't timely do this or didn't put on the evidence. It could be any kind of case where discovery wasn't properly performed and therefore we didn't find out the key witnesses. We forgot to put an expert on that needed to be put on.
That would have been the crux of the case.
Right.
Yes.
And we would have won. I tried a case in federal court for 3 weeks over, you know, a lawyer had it's a public case. I'm not going to say what the case is,
right.
but the lawyers, because of something the judge said they failed to do, he barred 8 of their experts in a major truck accident case, and we had to prove. I was defending the lawyers back in that case,
okay.
and we had to prove that well these lawyers wouldn't have changed the outcome.
The
experts would not have changed the outcome.
Boy, that sounds really hard to do. So you're trying to convince a jury or a judge. I guess it depends on the case.
Jury, yeah, but most of the time, jury.
Okay, and so it's up to the 12 of them to figure that out. So
yep.
that's got to be hard to do because, I mean, even explaining the basis of this is hard. And now you've really got to take jurors into essentially hypothetical situations.
That's right. And you have to – that's where all the but for. And it's all – hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? And so your ability to get that down to a very simple explanation – and then have a juror go along with you, and hopefully you see some heads going up and down instead of sideways. That's the key when you're on trial, is to break it down into simple terms and things that they understand. And you have to kind of say, well, if this was your case, how would you have decided it? And,
While we're on that, can I have a quick sidebar, Gary?
Sure.
As a lawyer, I'm always fascinated at this. How well are you able to tell, especially with something as complicated as what you're going through? You mentioned the heads up and down or the shaking of the heads of the jury. How well do you connect with a jury in terms of knowing that they're not getting it and knowing that you have to change your tactics? Is it easy to tell for you what a jury's thinking, or is it really not
easy? Okay. Not easy. You think you have. Everybody's got a different way, but you try to get a few jurors that you think are going to be on your side. That comes part of the voir dire part,
right,
when you're really trying to pick them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've lost in one cases and shook my head and thought I had the juror and no, I had a different juror. And so there's it's an art. It's not a science.
That's what I was going to say.
And we all have our gut feeling. Again, you just go with your gut and hope for the best.
And it's not what we see on TV.
No. There's no Perry Mason moments anymore. I'm an old Perry Mason fan. But you don't have the defendant or anybody breaking down in the middle of the case.
Or bringing in the letters from Santa Claus.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And let's talk about how COVID has affected legal malpractice. What are people expecting as we hopefully are getting out of COVID? Boy, we've said that for a few months.
Yeah.
Hopefully, as the legal world returns to more in-person stuff, the backlog starts to ease up, hopefully, at some point. What are you looking at here?
Well, COVID, I've read a couple of articles where a couple of insurance companies that specialize in selling malpractice insurance to lawyers expect an uptick in cases because of COVID, because maybe lawyers haven't been able to pay attention to certain issues. Things have fallen through the cracks. The system, even the court system itself, has changed so dramatically. It was shut down completely. Then we get Zoom.
Yeah.
And now people are trying to do depositions by Zoom. And how do you get how do you share screens? A little bit older generation is not too familiar with that. So
my lawyer didn't unmute himself for 15 minutes.
Well, and there's been some of that. What the specifics are, we don't know. But because COVID had a dramatic impact on all businesses, the carriers are saying there's probably some malpractice is going to come out of this that's going to be attributable to COVID. Courts this. I couldn't get to that. I thought this was going to get taken care of. I couldn't get in touch with my associate.
The breakdown of communication. Yeah, but you can't say, well, since my case was a Zoom case or since we had to meet via Zoom, because everyone did during that time. So that's the general standard of the time. It's not like all the cases are getting thrown out.
No, correct. And the fact that stuff has gotten delayed is certainly not the fault of the lawyer or the law firm, the system.
True.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Cook County, how they're going to handle the backlog of trials, which were always years away to begin with, and try to come out of that after 18 months of not having anything. There'll be maybe more mediations, more arbitrations. There'll be another push to get to a six-person jury. There'll be more ADR.
What's ADR? Sorry.
Alternate ways to resolve cases.
Okay.
And people will get creative. Well, we do get creative. And these are claims. These are cases, right and wrong. There'll be more bench trials. I'm in a situation right now where my clients would rather move the case along by just having a bench trial. Let's not wait for a jury.
That's the judge only.
Yes, the judge only. And he or she could have an easier schedule to deal with than trying to impanel jurors, make sure they're socially distanced and all of that.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a lot more bench trials and mediations and arbitrations.
That'll be interesting. All right, so I really want to zero in here because it's a fascinating discussion whether you've been in a case like this or not. But there's listeners right now who maybe haven't been involved in a case recently that have a sneaking gut suspicion, or they've heard their friends or their family are. Advice to them, and I guess also speak to who this may be. You're talking about people that have lost a civil case. You listed off some early examples. Maybe give us a few more just to jog people's memory of people they might know that might have experienced something like this.
Yeah, well, certainly any case that's gone south You might want to look at, did the lawyer do what he or she was supposed to do? Your transactions, your real estate deals. I mean, things I've already talked about.
Workers' comp. Yeah.
You know, and there are people have their workers' comp cases. You know, there are malpractice situations where the lawyer, medical malpractice, where the case wasn't handled right. And now, anything that you have a gut check on, give me a call. Give somebody a call. Don't sit on it and think, I really shouldn't.
Why not call?
Why not call? We do turn down many cases,
right?
Okay, well, and we tell them no. That's what happens,
and that's sometimes good to hear too, to satisfy someone's unresolve about that. Just to hear you say, "Hey, look, I know you feel wrong, but this was legally okay." Even that moves someone where they can get beyond something a little bit,
right? And the fact that a case was lost, that doesn't mean there was malpractice.
Right.
Every case,
right.
You know, potentially, if it goes to the full distance, someone will win or lose.
Right.
Okay? So that's not the standard. The standard is, what should the lawyer have done under those circumstances, and did that lawyer perform up to that standard? And if not, maybe, but for that, maybe you would have won your case. And it could be a myriad of things. Any topic. Look, the law permeates all of society. People get lawyers for all reasons. And therefore, potentially something can go wrong.
Right.
And if it's cost you money, maybe give me or somebody that does the same kind of work a call.
I'd say you. Should they have some documentation ready, or they can just tell you their story?
Well, it's great to have the documentation.
Okay.
Because, you know, one of the most faulty things in life is people's memories. And,
right.
And also, a lot of us, me, I'm included, we all want to hear what we want to hear. So the more that you have emails and the more that you have documents, the better. And there's a law. There's kind of an unwritten law. I shouldn't use it in that way. But if a lawyer hasn't written it down or sent it in an email to you, then it wasn't ever done. So, you know, if the lawyer didn't give you the advice or the lawyer didn't write it down, like, for example, we have a case right now where the lawyer saying that he recommended that the case be settled, and
we don't
something like that. You know, you go to, you'd say, hey, I might take that to a jury and say, hey,
look at this.
And if it was so important to settle the case, why don't we have an email? Why don't we have a letter?
That's great.
So that kind of thing.
Where should people call you at, my friend?
630-654-4500.
Or they can website?
www.grassolaw.com.
GRASSOLaw.com. Gary, always good to talk to you, my friend.
John, thank you. I'll come down anytime, especially when you have a view like this.
Yeah, exactly. Gary Grasso from Grasso Law. All right, quick commercial break. We'll talk a little bit more Blackhawks as we wrap things up here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.